Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, back again for a 164th episode.
That's right. We have been on the... Do you realize we have been doing this for 3 years plus?
This would make... What was our first movie? Spider-Man 2? Spider-Man 3?
The very first movie we reviewed was Meet the Robinsons.
Which came out...
First weekend of July. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, first weekend of April 2007.
Okay, so yeah. So now we're over 3 years. Look at that.
Wow.
It's pretty impressive that we still continue to record this show and still have the funds by which to do so, thanks to all of our non-existent advertisers.
Yeah, for the huge money bags that we like to call them.
But I mean, we're still
now
on
you've
in
depressed
Wyoming.
Me. That's amazing.
We've not lost any stations or affiliates, or we've not yet been kicked off the internet. So, despite that being a goal for our fourth year,
yes,
we move on. Anyway,
all right.
If you are a listener of ours, and I'm sure you are at this point, or at least for now. Here's how you can get a hold of us, fatguysatthemovies.com. You can go over to iTunes, just search Fat Guys at the Movies, and find us on iTunes. You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, and you can leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. You can also get us on Facebook or on the Twitter, twitter.com/rejects, if you'd like to hear what I have to say about the world. And twitter.com/KevinCarr with two R's if you'd like to hear what Kevin Carr has to say about what he ate for dinner. So,
well, not for dinner. I tweeted about what I had for lunch, which was Indian food.
Okay.
Which is awesome.
You had
There's
Indian
a great
food
little
for lunch?
Restaurant. There's a great little restaurant around the corner from my place, and they have a buffet. It's not a huge buffet, but it's like $7.
Nice.
And I bring my kid in there, and he's really good. They recognize us, and so we have vindaloo chicken and all that good stuff, and enjoy ourselves.
I had a protein bar. It was full of protein.
And that's for your lunch? Are you going to go work out now? Or you're supposed to work out after having the protein bar. That's the
purpose. I have a screening tonight at the Alamo Draft House, so I'm going to eat a burger there.
Okay, so you're going to have the protein bar now, let it rest in your system, and then eat like burger and chicken wings
and beer. I'm going to go work out right after I'm done reviewing these movies that we're going to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which just so happened to be three movies this week.
What constitutes a workout for you?
Walking, running, jumping.
Getting chased by a psycho killer. Because this is interesting, because we did get a question through formspring.me this week from one of our longtime listeners, Jeff Hall, asking us if we're ever going to be doing a push-up contest, more fat guy shenanigans. Like, he liked to call it the old school fat guy shenanigans.
I can't believe there's anything that's old school.
Well, we've been on the air for 3 years. That's terrifying. Before you know it, they're going to be like, way back in the day, the early days of podcasting with people like Fat Guys at the Movies.
We're on.
What do we have the push-up contest for? It was a box office contest.
It was a weight loss contest.
No. It was box office.
Oh,
it was like,
that
I
was
said
box
something
office
was
week to week.
It was like I said, if something makes so much money on the box office, I'll do like 10 push-ups.
Mm-hmm.
I challenge you.
Uh-huh.
I challenge you. Let's do it again. Let's have another push-up
contest.
Well,
see, the problem is that there's no way to verify if we're actually doing them or not. Because we're not in the same room anymore.
Well, you can hear us grunting, and I mean, are you going to just sit there in your portion of the magical studio in the sky and grunt into the microphone if you have to?
I've been known to do less.
this would kind of constitute exercise, sitting up, standing up, going to the bathroom, kind of thing. I say, but it will have to be a later week because I don't think you and I are going to disagree much with box office numbers in predictions. I just have
it's going to be hard, especially the month of May.
Am I keeping you up?
Yeah.
You better go work out. That protein bar settled.
I know. It's putting me to sleep. I'm not going to make it to my screening tonight.
Speaking of screenings that I have to go see.
Uh-huh.
Let's get to the movies. We don't have much time left in the segment. We took it all up talking about
you got a
and
couple
protein
minutes.
Bars. Okay. The first one is Just Right with Queen Latifah. It's Love and Basketball, which ironically isn't a sequel to Love and Basketball.
Scott, this is Morgan.
Hi.
Hey.
A girl doesn't just become the wife of a franchise player by accident.
The Nets luck couldn't get any worse.
I got a physical therapist coming by the house. You call her the miracle worker.
Oh, it feels good.
Some women have Gaydar. I've got Hodar. Leslie, the job is yours.
I have an NBA player's career in my hands.
You really think you could get me back?
Yeah, but you're going to hate me by the time I'm through with you.
Did you see this?
No. Yeah, no, I was actually traveling this week on a set visit, so I missed both Just
nice
Right
basketball
and...
basketball reference. Traveling.
Yeah.
Were you drinking stuff and dribbling at the same time?
There was a little bit of drinking and dribbling in the end. So I missed Just Right and Letters to Juliet. However, I got home just in time to drive to the theater and see Robin Hood. So I will be able to talk about Robin Hood in the next segment.
Poor guy. Well, I haven't seen this either. I'm actually... They're screening it. They're just screening it late. At the time of recording, I haven't seen it, but there will be a review on Fat Guys later on this weekend. So that's all I have to say about that. I'm like, I don't know.
It's about love and basketball.
Yeah, I like Queen Latifah, but
isn't Common in this movie too?
Common plays the
basketball player. He's a good
the
actor.
Basketball player.
I can, yeah, you know, and, I can dig it.
And his girlfriend, who apparently she edges in on, is played by the attractive woman from Precious.
Paula Patton.
Yeah, the social worker. Dulled up Mariah.
She was the
Carey.
Teacher, not the social.
Yeah,
worker.
The teacher. Nah, yeah, whatever. Same difference.
Fair enough. well, I mean, I guess this one, you know, it skews toward a certain audience, those who love kind of campy sports romantic comedies.
Okay.
But it's, you know, you're right. It's got a couple of decent actors in it. Even in her worst films, I've liked Queen Latifah. Even in, like, Valentine's Day, she was tolerable.
Yeah, well, she was nobody in, had a big part in Valentine's
She was in that, right?
Everybody was in that. I think Dudley Moore and... Rod Steiger and Olivia de Havilland were in that, even though...
Yeah, I'm dreading having to review that on Blu-ray next week, but we'll see. All right, well, let's
We don't know
on.
What that's going to be. It doesn't get a suck or not. All right, so let's just play the trailer for Letters to Juliet, because we're going to talk about this in the next segment. Amanda Seyfried takes an early honeymoon to Verona and ends up helping Vanessa Redgrave find her long-lost main squeeze.
Verona, Italy, where Romeo first met Juliet.
Sophia! Where are you, my sweet Sophia?
There is a place where the heartbroken leave notes, asking Juliet for her help. It was there I discovered a letter that changed my life forever. I didn't go to Lorenzo, Juliet. I promised I'd meet him to run away together, but instead, I left him waiting for me. Please, Juliet, tell me what I should do. Love, Claire.
You didn't see this either, did you?
No, I did not see this. And since we have 40 seconds left in this segment, I have something to say about it.
Yes.
I had this movie confused for the longest time with the other Amanda Seyfried movie that is
Jennifer's
just
body?
Like this, Dear John. You have essentially they are the same film.
No, they're not.
At least I didn't confuse it with Chloe, which was...
There's actually... no... Well, yeah, that would be... Or Jennifer's Body, yeah, no.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Channing Tatum in this movie.
Well, that's good news.
And it's a lot more lighthearted.
Fair enough. All right,
I'll come back and talk about it.
Exactly. We'll be right back to review that and, of course, Robin Hood. And we're back, and now that we've let you listen to the Letters to Juliet trailer, which
it's nothing like Dear John.
It's kind of like Dear John.
No, it's nothing like Dear John.
Let's face it, Amanda Seyfried is really doing a wonderful job of putting herself into...
letter rom-coms?
Letter-related rom-coms. And... And, you know, it works for her, because she's also done some really cool movies like Chloe that were very interesting. And,
where she's totally naked, right?
And awesome. Yeah.
I haven't seen that. I skipped that
script. But it's, you know, very dark and dramatic.
An interesting story about Chloe is they had a press screening, and I didn't go just because it was on this... I would have had to get a babysitter, and it was at the other side of town, and I didn't want to go to that theater because it's a crappy theater. You know what I'm talking... You know the theater I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't go. And then I was talking to one of the other critics in town, and they're like, oh, yeah, she was naked through the whole movie. And I'm like, oh, man.
Because that's why, that's basically where you, you know, find the reason to go and see a movie is whether or not it has nudity in it.
Well, good nudity.
Yeah, actually, Chloe was pretty quality nudity. I'm not
I mean, if they're like sitting there saying, oh, go see this movie because we got Ron Jeremy naked through the whole thing, I'd be like, that's not a selling point for me.
Yeah, no, I can see where you'd not want to do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Letters to Julia, you saw this, right?
Yeah, actually, and I have to say, it's almost, I have to say that of all the movies that are releasing this week, which are three and I've only seen two of them, this is the better one. And it's completely and utterly because of the cast. It's the story's about a girl. She's getting married, so she goes to Verona for sort of a pre-honeymoon. And her husband, mm-hmm. or fiancé is...
Because people in the real world actually take pre-honeymoons.
Well, yeah. The premise is pretty shaky. You kind of just have to accept it. And sort of like I watched Armageddon the other week, and I'm like, really? They're sending drillers up to this? That really makes no sense. But you just kind of have to... It's sort of like Armageddon in the sense you just have to accept the premise and run with it. Mm-hmm. But she goes to Verona, and there's this wall where people can write love notes to Juliet Capulet, you know, from Romeo and Juliet. And then mm-hmm. these women will write letters back, and she kind of joins them. She writes a letter to this old woman from who had written this letter and hidden it like 50 years ago. And so she's trying to find her lost love, and it's them trying to find this person that she was in love with like 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's really kind of hard to explain. But when you get down to it, it's a very charming movie. The backdrop, the Italian countryside, is gorgeous. It's a beautifully shot movie. And I have to say, what it hinges on is it hinges on Amanda Seyfried and Vanessa Redgrave, who plays the woman trying to find her love. Mm-hmm. They're both very charming and very charismatic, and they're great actors. And they're the ones who carry this movie. They are the reason to see this movie. I mean, otherwise, it's just this, you know, very light romance, kind of fun kind of thing. But this one really, really works. They are what sells the movie. I really think that Amanda Seyfried has one heck of a career ahead of her. And Vanessa Redgrave, you remember...
Has one heck of a career behind her.
Yeah, well, you look at her in this movie, and you're like, that is why she's a famous actor. Because she's so good at what she did. So, you know, not a great movie, but... You know, hey, it's cute. And for, like, the crowd it's going for sort of, like, the counter-programming to Robin Hood, this one's, I think, a good choice. And you'll probably get to see an Eclipse trailer before, because it's released by Summit.
Ooh. Twilight. Moving on.
So I have to actually say this one kind of rocks.
Okay, cool. The next movie we're going to talk about, the third movie of the week, is the biggest movie of the week, and it is Robin Hood, in which Ridley Scott directs Russell Crowe, again, as an outlaw in the making, in tights.
A king does not bargain for the loyalty that every subject owes him.
Many wrongs to be righted in the country of King John.
There's something that we need to do.
We're common archers, Robin.
The laws of this land enslave people to its king. A king who offers nothing in return.
Robin Longstride, also known as Robin of the Hood.
For the crimes of incitement to cause unrest, I declare him to be an outlaw!
Now,
I want you to have first crack at this, because
I already put my feelings on Twitter that it was a thoroughly disappointing experience, and that was really going into it with fairly low expectations.
Mm-hmm.
There were a few movies this summer that I seemed to become disenfranchised with, Robin Hood being one of them, Inception being another, where it's just, you know, I'm not really that excited anymore. Maybe it's I'm just getting older, or maybe I'm suffering from deep, dark depression, but...
that too.
You know, the really Robin Hood just it is what it is, and when you see the film, it really is what it isn't what it is either, because it is a very big, very shiny, very safe movie. It's probably the safest Ridley Scott movie that I've ever seen, and even American Gangster, which I didn't really enjoy that much, right, had a little bit of bite to it, a little bit of grit. And one of the things that you expect from a Ridley Scott movie, especially after Gladiator, is you expect that it will have a little bit of teeth. And even in the big battle scenes, even in the big Normandy beach scene that happens at the end of this film, it never really delivers kind of the wanton violence that you would think. You know, that was kind of the differentiator going into this movie between this and Kevin Reynolds' Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, was that was kind of a, fun, Hollywoodized version of Robin Hood, and this was supposed to be a little bit more, gritty and dangerous, and it wasn't, and some of the performances are just bad. William Hurt, he carried on the tradition of the bad accent.
Totally phoned in his performance.
The guy who played Prince/King John, who is kind of the second-tier bad guy.
You mean the Mark Anthony lookalike?
Yeah, he really does become very Richard Lewis at the end of this movie, where he is almost playing homage to Richard Lewis's Prince John in Robin Hood Men in Tights, and that's not a good thing.
Well, here's something that bothered me about the actor who played Prince John. I don't even remember half these actors' name. This movie has way too many characters in it. I'm watching this movie. First of all, it goes on way too long. It's 2.5 hours, which is exceedingly long for this movie.
Well, and the problem is it goes on way too long, and then it feels like it's not done.
Well, again, it's just, that's another thing. But it wanders along, and you get these other characters, and you're like, really, what's this person's purpose? You know, good old-fashioned, sort of like the Robin Hood legend. You're like Robin Hood against the Sheriff of Nottingham, and you got Prince John pulling the strings. But they got these other people in there, and you're like, well, who is this? And maybe if I knew my history or my Robin Hood legends, I maybe know who this person was. But I really don't care. And then when you do a movie like this, you try to make it too realistic, you run the risk of having just another dirty bearded dude in chainmail armor. And the problem is, the guy who plays Prince John, the guy who plays the Sheriff of Nottingham, the guy who plays the French king, look virtually the same. I mean, they really look very similar. And if you're not paying attention, you'd be like, wait, who's this guy again? You know, and I ran into that as the thing. Because I'm just like any stupid American. I know Robin Hood from what I've seen in the movies and that sort of stuff. I mean, the Robin Hood legend has been all over the map for the last 500 years. There really is no definitive source. I mean, he went back to ballads and poems, in the 1400s. But this movie, it's trying to be... You know what I saw? Peter Serretta from Slash Film tweeted out, and this is so accurate, I'm going to steal it. He says, it's like Batman Begins up until the point where he returns to Gotham and becomes Batman, but that's all it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't even think it kind of captures that level in the sense that it really... He's not an interesting character.
Yeah.
You know, and there aren't really that many interesting characters, and I think, the movie really just suffers from being completely detached from the spirit of Robin Hood.
Well, if you want to go in and you want to see a good Robin Hood movie, don't go see this movie. This has they could have called this movie Santa Claus for as much as it had to do with Robin Hood. It about had as much to do with Santa Claus. It's all this setup, and I know what they're going for, but if you watch the trailers, it's like the trailers promise a swashbuckling Robin Hood movie. There are literally scenes in the trailers that are taken from the last scene in the movie or next to the last scene in the movie that you think are the beginning of the movie. I'm like, and then it's like, okay, and here we go. And you get this sort of prequel to Robin Hood, but there's no indication of it except for if you read the little tagline at the bottom of the poster. It's too long. A lot of people have compared it to Gladiator, saying, oh, because it's... But Gladiator was a good, exciting movie. It's more like...
Well, and the thing is, Gladiator was an interesting film because it was so violent.
And cohesive. It made sense.
that too.
This is
there was a
like,
journey. There was a character arc.
This is like Kingdom of Heaven. When I saw Kingdom of Heaven, I was like, if I knew more about the Crusades, I could figure out what's going on, but I really don't care. I know that at some point they're going to have a battle.
Yeah.
I couldn't care less about anybody. I was so disappointed, and it was way too long.
It was far too long. So I'm going sucks.
I'm going to say kind of sucks. I'm going to be a little kinder to it.
I think there are moments of where it's a decent action movie, but that's about it.
Like right at the beginning and right at the end.
Exactly. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about other stuff.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We just tore apart Robin Hood. Take that, suckas.
I mean, if we had more time, I'm sure we could pick it apart.
We could go on and on. Yeah.
There's just, you know, it is one of the first thoroughly disappointing films of the year where, you know, you have a really talented cast, really talented director, really interesting character, and it's all squandered. I mean, even, for example, I don't mean to keep beating on this thing, but even Maid Marian, and you really feel like Cate Blanchett is the wrong person to play the Maid Marian of old, you know, the very kind of dainty Maid Marian that what's-her-name played in the Kevin Costner one. But in this movie, she's made to be a much stronger character, or made out to seem like she could be a very strong character, and she's kind of a badass, and she's a fighter, and they don't do anything with that, you know?
Well,
they take the most interesting thing about her and just...
There's a point in the movie where I'm like, are they making Elizabeth Part 3? I did seriously think that. And the other thing is, I'm all for female empowerment. But
yeah, and I thought they had a chance with this movie.
But the problem is there's a certain... Have you seen the BBC series Robin Hood that's currently airing?
No.
That one actually does a really neat thing with the Maid Marian character, because it's very female empowering, but it all kind of exists within the realism of the time, even though it's sort of a fluffy show. Mm-hmm. But it all has to take place behind the scenes. They make her in this movie, and I'm watching this, and I'm like going, you know, all female empowerment aside, back in 1199, women were property. That's just the way it was. And, you know, you couldn't sit there and you couldn't be as big of a badass as she was without just... You know, that's just not how the world worked. And they went over and beyond that, as opposed to making her sort of wield her power in a little more smart of a fashion. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you taking a drink? Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, so...
I thought you were pondering what I was saying.
Yeah,
you're
no,
like,
I mean,
I don't know about that.
Historical accuracy aside, they had a chance to make her a very cool character. And they had a chance to make, you know, to give some kind of, you know, strength to that character, and they wasted even that, you know. I don't want to spoil it, because there's a really big thing where she does this really heroic thing, and then essentially, metaphorically, falls off her horse and does nothing. So, anyway.
All right, well, and with that said, let's talk box office.
Oh, my favorite.
First of all, thoughts on last week? I wasn't surprised at all.
What was last week?
It was this little independent film called Iron Man 2.
Oh, Iron Man. Yeah, no, $135 million last week?
I think it came in $128 when all the actuals came in.
Yeah.
It was $133 initial estimates and $128.
$128 million sounds about right. I'm sure Marvel is bean counting what they would have made in 3D.
I know that that's... Because the thing is, it was like... You know that they said to themselves, if we had released this in 3D, it would have made more than Spider-Man 3. Because it would have made over $150 million in 3D.
But, I mean, it doesn't matter. To date, worldwide, it's made $363 million. So
oh, yeah. It's a huge hit.
It's
huge. Rightfully so.
Good. You know, it was a decent movie. Yeah. It really, this so far this summer has been about really big, interesting concepts.
So far this summer, this is the second week, man.
Well, and you know, I think Hollywood's 0 for 2, I would say.
Okay.
You know, nothing is really amazing. But one of the things that I'm starting to notice is that a lot of studios are playing it very safe. You know, one of the things we talked about last weekend with Iron Man 2 was that they didn't never put the character in any sort of peril.
Yeah.
And the same feels with Robin Hood. It's not as violent as you would imagine a Ridley Scott version of Robin Hood would be.
Yeah.
And
well, you know, the other
so I
thing,
think it,
though,
you know, safe makes money.
Well, we'll see. I actually have some things to say about this box office, but last week, and let's just mention last weekend, that was a huge number. It beat the original Iron Man by what, like 30, 40 million?
Yeah.
In terms of its opening weekend, which is that's par for the course for a sequel. Mm-hmm. Or at least a sequel of at least worth. And the the other thing is, last summer, if you remember, the biggest weekend of the summer was Wolverine, I think. Mm-hmm. And nothing quite beat it. I mean, you had Transformers 2 just was this juggernaut that went on for like 3 weeks. But
right. Transformers 2 only opened to 108 million.
Yeah, which it wasn't huge, huge. Oh, it was bigger than Wolverine, but like Star Trek didn't beat Wolverine and all that kind of stuff. I honestly think what we're going to see, what do you think, what are your thoughts on what Robin Hood's going to do this weekend?
Well, I think there's definitely a draw there. Russell Crowe is a big draw. Cate Blanchett is a big draw. It's a draw that's different than what you experienced with Iron Man 2. Iron Man 2 kind of is very strong in the 18 to 35 demographic.
It's strong in all demographics.
And relatively strong in other demographics. Robin Hood is stronger in the higher age demographics.
I think the older you are, the more you're going to like it.
Well, yeah, and I think that, but I still think that there's an appeal in say the 18 to 35 generation. So I think, you know, it's a $60 to $70 million opening.
Really? I'll be surprised if it makes 40. That's really? My prediction. I'll bet you. I'm going to go out on record. I'm going to say 42 million. I saw a note today that the studio is predicting 45 to 50 million for the weekend. And I think it's going to open soft for several reasons. The 2.5 hour running time is going to be a really tough sell because it's going to cut out the entire family market. The screening I went to, there were a lot of people bringing kids, and I saw families leaving just because they were bored. I brought my two sons, and they were pretty bored with it too. Now, obviously, they couldn't leave because I had to go see the movie. Mm-hmm. But I really honestly think that it's going to lose audience. I think it's going to be a disappointment, box office-wise. In Europe and overseas, I think it'll do better, but it's still, it's not going to rake in money. Mm-hmm. And I think 42 million. And I think it's going to be like, we saw this a couple years ago with the second Narnia movie that was darker and longer and heavier than the first one. And it lost some of that, the audience you'd expect for a Robin Hood movie, which would be your younger audience. The people I saw in the theaters, the old people loved it. The young people, eh.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that you're going to see that it'll have its biggest day on Friday. And then it'll just drop off on the weekend. I think Friday,
I think
Saturday.
I really honestly think it's going to be stronger than that. I really think it'll go over 50. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes over 60. I just
care to make
feel
a push,
like
push up bet over this.
No, I just feel like there's a good solid built in audience for a Robin Hood movie, and there's a good solid built in audience for a Ridley
Scott. But this isn't a Robin Hood. That's the thing. This isn't a Robin Hood.
Well,
movie.
You don't.
It's
know
a
that
Robin
until
Hood
after
movie.
You see it.
Well, no, but the word of mouth is already out there. There's a lot of the early reviews are saying that. It's the can the reviews from Cannes, the reviews from overseas, because it opened already. It's already creeping out. When you get bad press like that, reviews hurt a movie when it leaks out through the reviews that the movie's not what you think it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to have a huge impact on it. People are like, the word is, people are now getting the word that this is not a Robin Hood movie. Whereas like last week with Iron Man 2, the word out was, well, it still has the, it's very much like Iron Man 2, may not be as good, but it's still got the action. I mean, the word was what people were expecting. I don't think anyone walked into Iron Man 2 and was like, whoa, that's not at all what I thought it was being. Mm-hmm. I think you're getting a lot of people down on Friday, and the word of mouth, I think the word of mouth is going to just assassinate this movie.
I'm not so sure.
Okay.
I don't think that it's pulling one over on a lot of people, on general audiences. I think that they're going to go into it. I think that most people will go see this movie and get exactly what they expected.
Oh, I doubt that.
I think there's a lot of people that won't. You know, people who have seen other Robin Hood movies.
No, that's,
but
anyways,
that's about man, it.
I still think Iron Man 2 is going to win the weekend. Mm-hmm. Even if it drops 50%, it's still going to pull in 70 million.
Yeah.
I mean, 60, 70 million. So I think it's good to win. It's going to win. It's going to beat Robin Hood.
Really? You think so?
Easy going to beat Robin Hood.
All right,
easy.
Man. We'll see. Right. We'll see how it goes.
Speaking of other Robin Hood movies, that leads us into our Fat Guy 5.
Yay!
Which we are lovingly entitling 5 Better Robin Hood Movies.
Right. Which you're going to have to read because apparently they didn't make it into my show notes.
Oh, well, somebody wasn't taking notes themselves. So the first one is Disney's 1975 animated Robin Hood with the fox.
The fox. Awesome.
Which, you know, not only was it a great little cute Robin Hood movie, a good kids film, It is also responsible for the hamster dance. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
You're familiar with the hamster dance, aren't you?
I don't think so.
That little dancing hamster that went around the internet about that?
Not really.
That's actually the Adaladaloodaladale, that song that the rooster sings at the beginning, sped up. It's the hamster dance.
All right, okay.
Sorry, my voice is cracking. Mm-hmm. Like Peter Brady, there is a time to change. Mm-hmm. Okay, no, next one is the Kevin Costner movie, mm-hmm. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Which I liked, and I've always liked, despite the accent problem and some of the hammy acting in that movie. I've always been a fan of that film because the Bryan Adams song that is in the closing credits,
yes,
was the first song.
You had sex during that song.
That's the first when I was like 8 when that movie came out.
Well, I mean, you can still listen to it later.
No, I've never listened to it since. But I first time I ever danced with a girl was to was that song, and it was a very special moment.
So. There may have been some sex in my past during that song.
Fair enough. You're much, much, much older than I am. So, yes. But no, I've always had a sweet spot for that.
I will say this.
Really good movie.
If Russell Crowe played Robin Hood in that movie, it would have been awesome.
Totally, because he wouldn't have screwed up the accent.
Well, he also wouldn't have been Kevin Costner. And he wouldn't have it, because the thing is, the worst part of that about Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves was just some of the lines delivered by Kevin Costner, American accent or fake British accent or not. There's a scene where they're going to ride in the Sherwood Forest, and he says, "We either go there or we become ghosts ourselves." It is the worst line possibly in movie history.
Well, it gives the film an unintended sense of levity.
Yeah, unintended is right. So. The next one on the list is The Adventures of Robin Hood with Errol Flynn.
Yes, a great film.
It's fun. I mean, it's old fashioned and everything, but you know, hey, it's one of the originals. Yeah, but you know, hey, it's the original Men in Tights movie. Mm-hmm. And speaking of Men in Tights, the next one is Mel Brooks' Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Which is easily my favorite.
Easily your favorite. The only thing I didn't like about Men in Tights was there were... It was the last really, really funny Mel Brooks movie. Mm-hmm. And you could... If you watch his... Because I recently got the... and we'll talk a little more about this with the Blu-ray segment coming up. I recently got the Mel Brooks collection on Blu-ray, mm-hmm. which is the whole collection of his movies with the exception of like Life Stinks and Dracula, Dead and
Right. Man.
All on Blu-ray, and I recently watched all the Mel Brooks movies in a row. And by Robin Hood Men in Tights, he was kind of out of gags. He was repeating some jokes. Some jokes weren't that funny, like the Sheriff of Rottingham would mix up his words. That I never thought that was very funny. but it does have some awesome scenes, and it's arguable. It's way better of a Robin Hood movie than really Scott's Robin Hood.
Well, and I think it's what sells it is the fact that it commits to the joke and it sticks, and it's something that we constantly talk about that we've lost in the world of parody nowadays is sticking to what you're making fun of. You know, like it just parodies Robin Hood.
It wasn't referencing a bunch of different
right.
stuff.
And Cary Elwes is fantastic and expressive and fun and as I said, Richard Lewis, who clearly inspired the character of Prince John in Ridley Scott's Robin Hood. So that movie has affected, for better or worse, the movie that is coming out this weekend.
That and Amy Asbeck was wicked hot in that movie.
Yes, that's
I will
true.
Say that. And then, of course, the best, better Robin Hood movie is, in fact, Robin Hood Daffy, which isn't a feature-length film. It's just a short film. It's like a 6.5-minute Warner Brothers cartoon in which Daffy Duck plays Robin Hood and Porky Pig plays Friar Tuck. Mm-hmm. It is an awesome, awesome Robin Hood movie. The origin of the yikes and away. Slam into the tree. Directed by Chuck Jones. It's awesome.
If you say so.
You don't like this? Do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree. I'm just, I. If you say that that's number one, then that's number one, Kevin.
Yes. It is. It's awesome. It's where he's going to rob from the rich and then give it to some poor, unworthy slob.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's our Fat Guy 5 this week. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up and send you off into the Sherwood Forest of the future.
Wow.
And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. We have... I don't think we really offered anyone anything to do this weekend because Robin Hood seems like a waste of time.
Well, take your date to go see Letters to Juliet. Maybe you'll get some action.
Fair enough. And then Just Right, it seems, isn't going to be super great either.
I don't know.
So, you know, go see Iron Man 2 again.
Make me win my prediction.
Do a little DVD. And in order to help you with DVD, we're going to do, as we always do, the world-famous DVD Roundup. And we'll start with, I feel like we were just talking about these, because we were just talking about Robin Hood Men in Tights, but the Mel Brooks classics, there are three of them that came to Blu-ray. Robin Hood Men in Tights.
As single sales, because you can go get the
I have the box set. The box set's awesome.
Oh, it's an awesome box set. It is so incredible.
If you ever want to spend the money, if you really love Mel Brooks the way I do, I would suggest getting the full box set. But now you have History of the World Part 1, Robin Hood Men in Tights, and High Anxiety.
Probably
one of my favorite
whenever
Mel Brooks movies.
You're near.
High Anxiety, which is a spoof of the Alfred Hitchcock film Vertigo, among other things.
Yes.
And also The Karate Kid 1 and 2, the two Karate Kids worth watching, have come to Blu-ray.
With the awesomeness of Elizabeth Shue.
Yes, with the awesomeness of Ralph Macchio and Pat Morita.
You know, I think the guy from Hamlet 2 would have a little bit to say about that. Elizabeth Shue.
But both are good. The transfers are good. The first movie has a lot of special features on it on Blu-ray. The second one, not so much. So if you had to choose one, obviously it's The Karate Kid, the first one.
Well,
so,
yeah. Anyway. Well, then there's also, are they coming out with the Hilary Swank Karate Kid movie or not?
I don't know. It's just the first two so far. Oh. In honor of the, they're releasing that new one soon.
Whatever.
The Kung Fu Kid, which I refuse to call it anything but The Kung Fu Kid, because in the trailer he says he's going to learn Kung Fu.
Which would have been a better title, actually.
Yeah.
Anyways, so there you go. Well, my picks are Toy Story 1 and 2. They're coming out. They just released the Blu-rays like a month ago.
I was going
to
say.
But they got the special editions on DVD. It's just another way anything with Pixar, I gotta give a nod to, because I love Pixar. So you can get the Blu-rays, which have the DVDs in them, or you can just spend a little less money and just get the Toy Story 1 and 2 DVDs. Still, they're special. They get a little extra stuff. They did the 10-year anniversary not too long ago, but there's about a dozen different ways to buy Toy Story, but they're all...
Seriously, I would suggest the Blu-ray, though.
Yeah, personally. I would, too. But Edge of Darkness, Mel Gibson running rampage on King Richard. He's going after him for killing his daughter. Then there's... Right. Daybreakers, which did you see that?
Not yet.
Not bad.
I'm waiting
little,
for a copy.
It's not bad. It's not a bad little speculative what if vampire movie where vampires rule the earth and then they run.
Well, it's a very it's a creative.
It's different.
Deal, I'm told because the Spirit Brothers pretty much did it all on their computer.
Oh really? It's not a bad movie. I mean, it's pretty decent, especially for one of those early January releases that came out this year.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like one of those movies that you should see.
Yeah. There's also Legion, not Legion. There's Legion, which you didn't like, which I thought was okay. It's a lot of intense acting by Dennis Quaid.
With a really terrible accent, by the way.
Well, but it's Dennis Quaid. You got to forgive him.
Even he can do better.
And I got to just one. This came out last week, but I finally got this taken care of. Dr. Zhivago, you had mentioned it for a Blu-ray. I did a special review for iTunes where you can download it on iTunes.
Right.
Just to check it out. And I actually was able to hook up my computer to my new high def TV and put it on there, which, you know, it's only at DVD quality. Just so you know. So if you're wanting to do that, it's not going to be 1080p. I was glad I finally got a chance to see it. I mean, it's worth checking out. You can like rent it and download it on iTunes for like $2 or $3 and watch
for
it
for rental.
Or
you can buy it for like what, 10?
20, actually. 15? I think it's 20.
Ugh.
Yeah. 12, maybe 15. Gross. It might be 15. I don't know the actual price. But it was at least interesting. I will warn you though, it takes almost as long as the movie does to actually download it, because it's like It's like 200 minutes. It's a hugely huge movie. So
a hugely huge movie.
Hugely huge. So this is what I would suggest. If you're going to get this, buy it, rent it on iTunes, download it, go see Iron Man 2, and then you can come home and watch it, you know, because then it'll be done.
Fair enough.
And then the stinker would be Marked for Death with Steven Seagal on Blu-ray, because who needs to see Steven Seagal?
Because Steven Seagal is honored with the stinker whenever he is.
If he's released a movie.
It's almost like a loving stinker nomination.
And Marked for Death actually is probably arguably his best film. and it came out, I think it has Kelly LeBrock in it. So
interesting.
That's about it. We got to wrap it up. Well, before we do wrap it up, I do want to give a little bit of a shout out to Marilyn Hash, who are doing Cinema Spotlight, which is sort of moved into the Fat Guys of the Movies family of podcasts. We are working our way to 7. I had somebody suggest that we have a podcast every day of the week, which I guess we're working slowly and surely to that.
Hey, why not?
Why not? You know, we're going to be like our own little network. And then I can fire people at some point. Review wrap up. Robin Hood.
No, you won't. Robin Hood sucks.
I said it kind of sucks. Letters to Juliet, you didn't see, but I said kind of rocks and Just Right, neither of us saw. But hey, we like some Queen Latifah, so maybe it's not going to be that bad.
Fair enough.
Next week, Shrek.
Next week, yeah, Shrek and MacGruber.
Yeah, Shrek 4D. And get us a FatGuysOfTheMovies.com. Do you have something else to say?
No, I was just going to say, we'll see you next week when we review MacGruber.
Which actually is one of my most anticipated movies of the summer, I hope.
As well as it should be. It is awesome.
I will hope it doesn't let me down.
All right.